This is the eHealth Radio Network, your source for health advice on demand. And now your host, Eric Michaels.
This is Eric Michaels, and once again, you have tuned into the eHealth Radio Network and the Heart Health Emergency Care and Health News channels. Don't forget, we're also streaming on demand 24/7 on TuneIn Radio and the TuneIn Radio app for your listening convenience. Today, we are speaking with Cindy Dunbar, Director of Customer Care with AED Superstore, the world's largest distributor of automated external defibrillators. Cindy, certainly a pleasure to have you with us this morning on eHealth Radio.
Well, thank you. I'm so happy to be here. I appreciate the opportunity.
And you're most welcome and good to have you with us. So, Cindy, when it comes to sudden cardiac arrest, there has been a lot of talk about the chain of survival. And if we can, let's talk about that today. What is the chain of survival and what are each of the links?
Absolutely. The chain of survival is really an essential sequence of steps and events that need to occur when sudden cardiac arrest unfortunately happens and somebody falls victim to it. It needs to happen as quickly as possible because with sudden cardiac arrest, we all know that time is truly of the essence. So the chain of survival is some steps that through research we have learned, the AHA, American Red Cross, all of the institutions that have done the research, we've learned are the series of events that should happen in as fast as possible timeliness, and then also within the correct sequence of events. What they are is beginning with calling 911 immediately upon finding somebody who has collapsed from sudden cardiac arrest. Second step is early CPR, not just CPR, but early CPR. The third is early defibrillation with the AED. Then we have EMS arrival, which of course is prompted from the 911 call, and then eventually with the patient arriving at the hospital for extended care. All of those steps in that sequence are extremely important for people to be aware of and have a strong knowledge of for the best results in saving somebody's life.
So obviously calling 911 is at the first step because you want to get EMS on the way so you can get to the fourth link. Is that what I'm understanding?
It is. There's more to it than just that. You're absolutely correct. Getting them on site as fast as possible is the key with calling 911. So that's the very first thing we want somebody to do. But what that also does is that the dispatcher on the other end of that line, more than likely in most cases, is going to have knowledge of CPR and knowledge of the survival, the chain of survival, and the entire process. So essentially what you're going to have is it's going to be almost like a vocal lifeline for the person who calls 911, that they're going to be able to be that voice of reason in the midst of the chaos that's going to happen when you find somebody that has fallen victim to it. No matter how trained you are, you will have chaos. So they're going to be able to provide you advice on CPR, walk you through the steps if you're not familiar or comfortable with it. They're going to keep you calm. And then also a lot of places that have AEDs in their buildings have registered with their local dispatch and EMS that they have an AED on premises, which means it's more than likely that dispatch will be able to help you and tell you, you do have an AED on premises, here is where it is. And they can almost speed up the chain of survival steps because they can help you find that AED as fast as possible. So calling 911 has several reasons why it's absolutely the very first thing that should be done.
Now, the next link in the chain is early CPR, not just CPR, but early CPR. If you could explain that, why is that?
With CPR, what CPR is going to do is it's going to be your tool to fight against the damage that can happen to the body and especially the brain when a person is in sudden cardiac arrest. Because essentially what has happened is the heart has stopped pumping the blood that has the oxygen. It stopped pumping that throughout the body and to the vital organs and to the brain. So by doing CPR, you're literally manually pushing so that that blood is at least on a marginal basis being pushed throughout the body. It's going to continue to reach the vital organs. It's going to continue to reach the brain. Unfortunately, what happens within 4 to 6 minutes of the brain not receiving oxygen is that it does start to die, which can, in the end, sadly end up with brain damage. So with early CPR, what you're doing is you're keeping that blood flowing. No matter, you know, any other result, you're keeping the blood flowing, the oxygen will get to the brain, and then they have a better chance of retaining brain function at the highest level, you know, best case scenario. So that's what, in every step, we're looking for the absolute best results from something, you know, somebody falling victim of this.
Today we are speaking with Cindy Dunbar, Director of Customer Care with AED Superstore, the world's largest distributor of automated external defibrillators, here on eHealth Radio's Heart Health Emergency Care and Health News channels, a part of the eHealth Radio Network. So if early CPR is important, then early defibrillation must be just as important.
It truly is. What people need to realize, and most people don't, is that for the best results in saving somebody's life, is that CPR and defibrillation both need to be performed early, but they're the 50-50 team that's going to give you your best chance of helping this person survive. So you've got the CPR going, getting that defibrillator to the patient is essential in timing. We get that to it. What the heart is actually doing, as I stated earlier, is it's not pumping blood. It really is. It's just quivering. It's not doing anything it's supposed to. It's reacting to erratic electrical impulses. And so what the shock is going to do with defibrillation is it's literally going to force like a shocked reset to the heart. And it's going to shock it so that the heart stops for a second, and our hopes are, and the ultimate goal is, that it then resets the function of the heart so that it starts to pump blood appropriately the way it's supposed to, which that translates to the oxygen again starts going throughout their body. The heart starts moving the oxygenated blood to the brain, and the body starts functioning on its own again. That's really what the defibrillation is about. That's what the AED is going to do, and getting that done as fast as possible so that all of that oxygenated blood continues to go throughout the body. That's why it's so critical, and it's just as important as the CPR.
Next in the chain is EMS arrival, and that must be a great relief for the rescuer.
It absolutely is. I personally have never been involved in an event situation, but I can only imagine the relief when the paramedics and the EMTs come through that door has to be enormous. When they arrive, they can take over the treatment of the patient. They will literally step in and take over every piece of what's been going on. And the other part of that is that they have the knowledge, the skills, and other tools that they have available that can extend the care. They can recognize things that the normal layperson wouldn't. They have treatments and medications that they can provide for advanced life support techniques. And they can be doing all of this while they're working on transporting the victim to the hospital.
And what or which is advanced hospital care? Get into that a little, if you would.
Advanced hospital care is essentially when you finally get the patient to the hospital, which hopefully happens extremely fast, but the transmit time, you have the paramedics and the EMTs working on them and giving them their highest level of care. Once they hit the hospital, the emergency room, then they get the full range of medical care that's available to treat not only the sudden cardiac arrest, but if there's an underlying reason or anything else that has triggered the problem or, you know, occurred in result of the sudden cardiac arrest. They've got all of the doctors, the emergency personnel, full scope of care that can be given for, you know, life support. And then once the diagnosis, once the immediate emergent situation is put under control, then they have the continuing care within the hospital so that they can get full treatment and get a full recovery.
Cindy, certainly appreciate your time, and this has been very helpful information on today's topic. In conclusion, any closing thoughts, takeaways, or one last final tip or something else we should know along the lines of our conversation today?
Absolutely. The biggest tip I can give anyone is don't be afraid to grab the AED. Don't be afraid to do CPR. You are the best chance that a person has of survival, but also getting that first AED shock administered. Our best recommendation, and the AHA recommends, a 3-minute rule, a 3 to 5 minute rule after the person collapses. So you want that AED, you want to get back to that patient immediately. The reality is, for every minute that passes from collapse to shock, chances of survival decrease by 10%. And I don't think that's a piece of knowledge a lot of people have, that every minute that passes from collapse to shock, chances of survival decrease by 10%. So the idea of just calling and waiting for EMS to arrive is a wonderful intent, but no matter how fast they can respond, whether it's 5 minutes, 8 minutes, 10 minutes, that's still time that is critical time for optimal results in saving somebody's life. So get that AED 3 to 5 minutes and get moving on defibrillation. That's the biggest tip we can give anyone.
And we certainly do appreciate that tip. But where can listeners find more information about AED Superstore, and how can listeners be in contact as well?
We are so easy to get in touch with. We do have a website, which is www.aedsuperstore.com. They can go on there 24/7. We have unlimited information about AED programs in general, AED specifically. We do carry every FDA federally approved model. You can call us at 1-800-544-0048. I have a staff that is trained to expert knowledge, and they can answer any questions, whether it be 5 minutes worth of questions or 2 hours worth. We are the easiest to get a hold of, and that's what we're here for, is really to help people get the knowledge so that the more AEDs out there, the more lives can be saved.
Well, Cindy, it certainly has been great to have had you here today on eHealth Radio, and certainly look forward to our next conversation.
Thank you so much for having me.
And you're more than welcome. We have been speaking with Cindy Dunbar, Director of Customer Care with AED Superstore, the world's largest distributor of automated external defibrillators. And for more information and for contact, simply visit AEDSuperstore.com. And this has been Eric Michaels, and you've been listening to eHealth Radio and the Heart Health Emergency Care and Health News Channels, a part of the eHealth Radio Network. And we do thank you for listening. And until next time, enjoy.
Thanks for tuning in to the eHealth Radio Network. For more information or to subscribe to this podcast, visit eHealthRadioNetwork.com.